Total Tuscany Podcast, number 39. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. Good to have you along again as we explore Tuscany and the surrounding regions. We'd like to give you great stories, have you meet new people. I'm Travis Justice, alongside Mr. Pat Capagna. Hello, Pat.
Travis, how are you today?
You know, so many times since you and I have gone to Tuscany for the first time in 2009, and it seems like a broken record, we bring up that first trip, we have heard stories of inspiration. We've heard stories that motivate us to take a deeper dive into the Tuscan culture and actually dream about what it would be like to live there. You and I have talked about living there several times, and we do a lot of talking, not a lot of doing, and it's fun to talk to people who do a lot of doing. Mm-hmm.
It seems to be a recurring theme, I think. Maybe not such a accident that we keep finding people that have realized these dreams.
Yeah, and it's funny to see people who take that leap of faith that are looking for a different sort of lifestyle, a different sort of being, of finding that self-worth, but yet still having that entrepreneurial spirit. And there's so many stories of success that way, and that's what we like to share, are those stories. And of course, we are able to share those right here with the Total Tuscany Podcast, and we hope you follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany, and also like our Facebook page at Total Tuscany, and new, you can find us on Instagram. But we're able to share those stories via the social media channels by the people we talk to on these podcasts. And today is a fascinating story of young love that turns into a business and a dream come true. And we're always looking for new places to stay. And we're actually venturing a little bit outside of Tuscany today.
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit of an adventure
here. Yeah. So you're kind of on the border of Umbria and Tuscany, and you kind of get a little different regions, and it's, let's say, it's off the beaten path. We're talking about La Tavola Marche, and it's the story of Ashley Bartner and her husband Jason, who have a fascinating story. They took a leap of faith after growing it. One grew up in Seattle, another grew up in San Francisco. They lived in New York City, and where do you go from there? You go to the countryside of Italy, and it's a wonderful story, and they have so many great things. Not just a great story, but great things for us as visitors and tourists to experience.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait to talk with her.
And joining us now on the Total Tuscany Podcast is Ashley Bartner. Ashley, I guess, first of all, let's start off by talking, how in the world did you and your husband end up in Italy?
Well, it's quite a romantic story, but totally true. We came to Italy on our honeymoon, walking around in a small town outside of Rome in Trastevere. We had been in Italy for about a month, and we just kind of were soaking it all in and thought, what are we doing in this life we're living in New York that we can't enjoy when we're surrounded by people here with that's just that really savor each day with the simple pleasures? And it kind of made us think differently and reprioritize our life. And we just thought, let's move to Italy, kind of be as self-sustainable as possible, change our life completely from living in New York. And we were ready for a change. And we just thought, let's just do it. We don't have a mortgage. We don't have kids. And let's kind of maybe live more simply, but a life full of quality. And if it all falls apart, hey, we're young. When we moved here, we lived in Italy and gave it a shot.
Well, and you didn't just go from New York to Rome or Florence. You went right into the countryside. You went right into it.
Yes. We kind of joke, I'm from Seattle originally, and my husband's from San Francisco. But we joke we must have really been from Texas, because when we do it big. And we really wanted to slow down, and we were ready for that country life. I don't think at the moment that we moved out here that we decided the property we were living at that we realized quite how far we were. Because we're about 10 kilometers plus outside of a tiny town of about 2,000. So we really are out in the middle of nowhere, but we love it. Now we can never imagine having neighbors again.
La Tavola Marche is where you are at. Is that where you guys started? Have you been there the entire time?
Yep. We've been here the whole time in a neat old 300-year-old stone farmhouse. And just each year we kind of have added on to it, from a chicken coop and a patio to a big, huge organic farm and a big garden, I should say. We both do the like full-on farming of the land, but also food garden. It's a little slice of paradise.
I think I hear chickens in the background.
Yes, you do. The rooster's out. We've got 17 hens and one rooster, so he's got a lot of work to do with these ladies out here.
We've talked to several people that have made the jump, that have left the States to go start something in Italy. Looking back at your 10 years, was it harder than you thought it was going to be? Was it easier than you thought it was going to be? What have been some of the range of emotions as you've grown your business as an American in Italy?
Jason, my husband, likes to say it's the hard that makes it good. And that's the truth. It's, you know, if it was easy, everyone would do it. Living in Italy is a beautiful place to live. The quality of life is excellent. Especially, I mean, it's a summer day here right now, and the sun is shining, the chickens are crowing, the air is clean, the water is clean. It's a good life. But you cannot expect that the day-to-day business, and especially running and operating a business, is going to be like it's done in the States or wherever you may be from. So you really, if you're going to come and live abroad, or and especially work and own a business abroad, be willing to take on that change for all of it. You know, whether it's the simple pleasures of the country living or the frustrations of having a farmer's bank, you got to take with the good with the bad, and kind of just accept it, because you're not going to change it in that sense. So I think that we were always prepared that there would be, you know, an uphill battle, especially learning a different language and trying to do business with kind of kindergarten style Italian and trying to be taken seriously. But you muddle through it, and you just have to believe 100% wholeheartedly that you're not going to fail, and that it's the hard that makes it good. That's, you know,
it's so interesting. It's interesting that you jumped into this, and not only with kindergarten Italian, but you're married to the land. It's true. You're married to the land that you're working, isn't it? It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, it does. And a lot of willingness to learn. I mean, we were suburb kids, which we joke is the worst kind, because you don't have the street smarts of being really from the city, and you don't have the country know-how of what to do.
You mean you don't get street smarts in a cul-de-sac?
No, exactly. Not in a, you know, suburbs of Seattle. And so we had to learn which way to plant a seed, but we were so willing to learn, and made it clear to our neighbors that we were here to not only support and learn their traditions, but to carry it on. And, you know, that idea of they taught us how to, whether it's make pasta or to start a garden, that then we would share that with our guests and teach them as well. So I think that it felt very neighborly in the most genuine sense of the term, moving here, kind of that connection also with the people of the area to help us get started.
Now, this is the Total Tuscany podcast, and we've always focused on places in Tuscany. We've gone outside the area. Where exactly is La Tavola Marche located?
Okay, so to put it in context of Tuscany, we are about 2.5 hours east of Florence.
Yep.
And we are right on the, we're in La Marche is the region. And our town is called Sant'Angelo in Vado. And our biggest kind of World Heritage site is Urbino, about 1/2 hour away to the north. And our closest Tuscan town is actually Sansepolcro, I think, and that's about 45 minutes. We're right on the edge of the Umbria, Tuscany, Marche border. So you get a real nice mix of the food from that area, as well as Emilia-Romagna to the north, not being far. And influences of that, it's a great kind of breadbasket area.
What do you guys offer? You have the farm, you have the cooking classes, there's an inn. Talk about the experience that people get when they visit you and take advantage of your services.
Hopefully people feel like they're staying with old friends. We have a really laid back feel. It's Jason and myself. He is the chef and farmer, and was a chef in New York, and is a very ego-free cooking instructor, which puts people at ease in the kitchen. And we teach seasonal, local kind of farm to table dishes from the area. And kind of your experience would be you pull up and you think, what the hell, where am I going? Because you're so far down the road that you think you've gone too far. So the first feeling you're going to get is, this can't be right. And then all of a sudden you show up at this farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere and you realize you don't want to leave and just relax. And we've got gorgeous rolling hills and the farmland and all of that, but really it's the chickens and the cats and the laid back feel where you just want to stay and eat and relax, whether it's in the summer by the pool or in the winter by the fire. And like I said, the cooking classes are very local, seasonal. In regards to that, we do a lot of like pasta and sauces. Our pizza class, one of my favorites, is our full meal dinner party, which the guests create the dinner for that evening, and it's antipasti primo, secondo, dolce, everything picked from the garden. And then coming into fall, now we'll start doing a lot of mushroom hunting and truffle hunting, which is very rich in our area right here, straight out of our backyard, actually. And then we'll start getting into the slaughtering of the pigs and the hens and kind of finish our whole season with our forage slaughter butcher program, which is very, I'd say it's all very hands-on.
What size groups do you cater to, Ashley?
For a group, for like a cooking class package, we kind of do about, well, I should say we never have more than six in a cooking class. So the classes are really intimate. If we've got a lot going on, there might be, you know, for a wedding, we could have 25 people in the farmhouse. For a week of cooking classes, maybe we've got 12. And so it kind of just depends on what's going on here at the farmhouse at the time. But I'd say in the cooking classes, no more than six. So it stays very nice and intimate, and it's very kind of one-on-one in that sense.
Now you guys have five apartments, and I love how you've named them. Pear, peach, apple, strawberry, cherry. How did that all come about?
They're all fruit trees that surround the farmhouse.
Nice.
So it's just a simple, silly, easy thing, but it's hysterical because 8 years later, Jason still doesn't know the names of the guest rooms.
So what's the average stay at your place? Is it a couple nights? Is it a whole week? When people come to visit you and rent from you, what's the average stay for people?
I'd say about 3 to 5 nights is the average stay. We do a lot of 3-night packages where you can get a real taste of the area. And we're so far off the beaten path that we have to also kind of appeal to people who just want a taste of the area. So we get a lot of foodies that will come out for like the 3 to 5 nights. In the middle of summer, a lot of Dutch and Northern European families that will come out for sometimes up to 2 weeks, which is always surprising. But I'd say, yeah, about 3 to 5 nights, and you can get a real kind of taste of the area in that amount of time.
And is this year round or is this a seasonal?
No, we normally open in Easter and close for like November. Okay. Beginning of November. Truffle season in our area, white truffles, begins October 1st for white truffle hunting. And a lot of the truffle festivals continue through November. So it just kind of depends. This year will be November 1st.
And so November 1st, do you just look at each other and say, thank God they're all gone, we have the farm to ourselves again?
I am totally a people person, so I love it. But Jason, yes. And it's like, okay, now we have some time to relax and no one's here. And
you mentioned being off the beaten path in the middle of nowhere. Does that make it more difficult to conduct business where you're at, or is that the appeal to the people you see?
I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest, because it is harder to get here, so you have to want to get here. But that being said, you get the right people who find you. People who are willing to go a little bit farther, are a bit more easygoing, are a bit more willing to try something new, are a bit more willing to get their hands dirty. So it seems to weed out the weak folk.
Do most of your people are, and I'm always curious by this, are they the people that come to Italy, are they mostly Americans? Are they Australians? Are they English from the UK? Where do most of your visitors come from?
We get a lot. I would say 90% are English speaking in some form, you know, speak English one way or another. And a big percent come from the States and Canada. I didn't know before we moved out here that there's such a huge Italian population in Toronto. And we get a lot of Canadians, as well as Australians. Australians seem to be crazy about Italian food. And when they're dollar strong, they love to come to Italy. So we've had, and then of course the Northern Europeans kind of fill it in. But for us, I would say Canadian, I'd say North American and Northern European, and then Australian. We've had incredibly some people from Hong Kong, and it was like, what are you guys doing all the way out here? And they said exactly that. Like, we just wanted to get away from everything. We thought, well, you did that right. Gosh.
So do your guests use the place as a starting point to do some day trips around the area, or is it just so far removed that they just light there and they just stay for their visit?
It's really what you want to do yourself. We're far out here, but it actually means that we're about a 10-minute drive from three different towns versus being inside of one town. So a lot of people use this as a base for the area because you can get to Gubbio within 45 minutes, like the coast in Fano within about 45 minutes. Like I said, Urbino about 45. So, and those are some just bigger points. Obviously there's villages of interest, if you will, much closer. But I think when I say people come out here and don't want to leave, it's more that feeling of relaxing. Like, you get out here, there's no clocks in the guest rooms. You know, we have spotty Wi-Fi outside and you just kind of let it go. You know, that rush of the regular vacation, a lot of times we end up to be your vacation within your vacation. That time where you kind of slow down a little bit and you think, you know what, I have a list of places I want to go, but I'll make it to one of them and let's just relax, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that was the appeal to me. I mean, we first went in 2009 and I could not believe how relaxed I was from the hustle and bustle. And that you mentioned lifestyle and the relaxing atmosphere. That I think that's the draw for a lot of people. I mean, that's why you stayed, right?
Yeah, I mean, normal day life is so busy that's the part that Italians know how to live life well and take advantage of the whole day, take a nap, enjoy it long into the evening, and just slow down in that sense. And I think that is, you know, the more money we make or the harder we work, the less we kind of enjoy that life in the States, which is a bummer. I think that moving to Italy changed our definition of success and in that sense as well.
You know, I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, okay, you've been there 10 years. Are you now an Italian citizen? How do you stay there so long? And how often do you come back to the States?
That's a great question. We are 2 years away from our Italian citizenship. We are so excited. We want to get that so bad so we can then live or work anywhere within the EU. We love Italy, but we want to be able to keep our options open. We're still young and who knows what's next. But we've only been back to the States in 8 years twice. We went to Texas once to visit some friends, and that felt like, after about 8 years of being away, to see Texas felt like you couldn't get much more American than that, and go see some football and barbecue. And then last fall we went home to see family around Thanksgiving, and that was great. But it was fun to be back, but it definitely wasn't home in the sense of, it was like, all right, we live in Italy. We this is our life here. I didn't feel a pull to return, you know.
When you settled down on the farm, did you feel welcomed by the Italians that lived nearby, or was there some hesitancy to kind of accept you into the fold?
We were really lucky. We were very active in nipping that in the bud without realizing it. When we first moved out here, it was the winter, and I think that just having two people move out to an old cold stone farmhouse in the middle of December, and then having there be snow and all of these things, I think the locals were like, who are these two? And then there'd be a snowstorm and they're like, you guys are still here. What's going on? And we're like, yes, we live here. We're trying to tell you we live here. And they kept thinking we just maybe mispronounced it. And then we we delivered apple pies to all of our neighbors, trying to kind of welcome ourselves, like, oh, Chad, we wanted to introduce you and introduce ourselves to you. And that came across very Americana, which we didn't really expect, but was really well received. And then we also offered free English lessons in town. And so we did a few things. We would go into town and get our morning cafe and try to shop at the same places and let people kind of see that we're here to live and to stay and to support the area. And so very quickly, I mean, in 8 years in New York, we didn't meet the kind of neighbors and friends we met within 8 months here. People took a real curiosity and interest to us. They thought that we should be orphans. Like, where are your mothers? You know, we were 25, 26, living in a foreign country, and they just didn't understand how we could do this without our mothers. And so for like our first Easter, you know, local moms or grandmas would make us an Easter bread and deliver it to our house, or, you know, little neighbors would just kind of slowly adopt us for different things. And I think they really saw that we were here, like I said before, to learn and support and share their traditions, that they were so happy that someone was here to do that, whereas the kind of younger generation of Italians isn't as interested in making homemade pasta and the local digestivos, the homemade digestive drinks and things that are these old time traditions of the kitchen and whatnot. And that they saw, here are these two foreigners who want nothing more but to learn our old ways. And so that being said, we were very well received, and most of our friends are in their 60s and above because they're the ones who showed us everything.
So, you know, people could be listening to this podcast right now saying, wow, I want to do that. And I'm ready to pack up, move, start a business in Italy.
I'm right there.
And I think that Pat's leading the way. So what would you tell somebody right now if they said, hey, I'm moving there, I'm gonna take the leap of faith like you? What would be your advice?
Well, my first advice would be just my, like, the inner entrepreneur, passionate person. And my first thing would say, do it. Just do it. Like, stop talking about it and do it. It's totally possible. For Jason and myself, we were super determined. And from coming here on our honeymoon in April 2006, we were living here in this farmhouse with a business started in December of 2007. So that's a year and a half. And we had no money. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. We just figured it out. So it's totally possible. So that would be my first thing I would say. Secondly, I would say, if you're interested in a 300-year-old stone farmhouse with a great brand name and cooking school, contact us at jason@letavolamarque.com, because we are selling the farmhouse and brand and looking to find the next owners of this place and to keep the cooking school going. Yet we are just ready for our next transition. And that being said, my number third thing would be to contact us as well to help consult you on your move to Italy, because that's what we are getting ready to kind of roll out doing, and helping others kind of fulfill that dream and answer their questions and have a helping hand here on the ground, and who's been through it before. That's what I would say.
Just do it. Even if you have four kids that are like in high school and are like would kill their parents if they left.
Oh, four kids in high school?
Yeah.
Your kids would kill you. that is hard.
Pat's got three in high school. I have one in college, two in high school, and I've got a younger one. I think my youngest one would be all open for it, but I think the three older ones would be totally against the move.
I agree. That is hard. Let the kids finish high school.
And then move away.
Exactly. Then say, all right, enjoy your college years. We'll be in Italy if you meet us.
You mentioned, have you owned this place from the beginning? I mean, so you didn't, you said you didn't have any money. How did you fall into this place, and did you do a lot of renovation and everything to make it to where it is today?
That's a great question. We are totally pull yourselves up by your bootstraps. Neither one of us were given anything kind of growing up or to do this. We just had done a good job of saving our money and putting it away. And we looked at purchasing another property before this. And we were approved pre-approved for a loan and had an investor from New York that we had found and worked with, and came out here in Italy to buy a different property altogether. And the entire deal fell apart at the bank, and it was right before the financial crisis happened. And we were given some, just a tidbit of advice of why not lease instead of buying a property. And I think as an American, we get so wrapped up of you have to own your own home, you have to own your own business. And we own our own business, but it doesn't mean we have to own the property that we're running out of. And that opened up a huge possibility for us that we didn't have to be owned by the bank, and that we could find someone who we could work with and structure a great lease deal and work in our business and make sure that it works and kind of have more of a flexibility. You know, it's a lot easier not to get out of a contract, but to get out of a contract with a rental agreement versus owning a home, if, you know, if all hell breaks loose, you have a lot more, you have a much better exit strategy. Where this, what we, you know, we were able to move here being young and have someone, you know, essentially a house that comes with a plumber and some of these things. So we got a long-term lease, and it meant that we were able to afford it. And to be honest, it was not much more than what we were paying for rent in New York at the time. So we could have a farmhouse in Italy for the same thing. And it just made our dreams possible. And so don't rule anything out and don't get stuck on that idea that you have to own the property, I think is a big one.
Ashley, I want to take a minute. I want a story. So I want you to imagine we bring Travis and I, we're over there with our wives. We've had one of the meals prepared by you and Jason. We're sitting around the table drinking wine. Tell us your favorite story for your guests.
Oh my gosh. Some of them, well, at the end of the night, those are the dirty stories. Those are when I tell you the language stories of saying Italian the wrong way. hold on one second. Let me think about it. Well, gosh, it kind of depends on the mood. One great story is... kind of a disaster, I guess, of a story. Well, no, I'll say a great story is Dr. Gaggi. So Dr. Gaggi is our adopted Italian papa, and we talk about him a lot here at our farmhouse because you'll see this little spunky anziani. I guess he'd kill me if I actually said that. That means elderly, but he's an old guy and is like 65, 66, and sweet neighbor of ours. And guests will constantly say, oh, we found there was an old guy in your garden stealing your tomatoes while you were gone. And it's funny because he's not stealing our tomatoes. He helped us plant them. But we first met him because when we were delivering our apple pies, he was at this neighbor's home. And we didn't think much notice of it, but he was giving the guy kind of a hard time about, oh, of course you'll eat this whole pie without sharing it with anyone and all of this. And we didn't think twice. And within a few days, we had a note pinned to our door that said, come to dinner at my house and bring the other girl. And my sister was living here with us, helping us kind of get the house ready for the season. And we thought, oh my God, we had just moved here. And Jason was convinced it was local mafia. And we turned the card over and it says cardiologist. And Jason was like, they want to steal your sister's heart. And we were like, oh my God, they're after us. And he was like, I knew they were going to want to cut. And we were scared to death, but we were like, well, I guess we have to go to this dinner. And we call him back and we couldn't even figure out exactly how to get to the house. We could barely speak any Italian. And we show up and it's this little old guy and his wife. And they just continue to rib each other and have this kind of sparkle in their eye that gave you, you know, a lot of compassion and empathy and love, but you couldn't understand a damn word they said. And we would just start laughing, oh, ha, 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 you know. And shortly after that, we'd come home and he'd be here mowing our lawn just for no reason. And we were like, what are you doing? And he's like, it needed it. The lawn needed a mow. And we were like, did it really need it that bad or what? And we realized he was, and his wife was clipping our hedges with like just little scissors. I'm like, what is going on with these two? These two oldies keep showing up at our house to do yard work. It is so bizarre. And it was really that they just wanted to become part of our lives. And shortly after that, they'd show up with a dead capon and say, we're plucking a hen. And soon after that, here's how you plant a seed. And, you know, they just really took us under their wing and showed us how to live the kind of Italian country lifestyle. And, you know, we're forever, we call them our adopted Italian papa. And, so it's just a character who you'll see here all the time, but he's also very much like family, where he drives you insane. And the moment he knows that you don't, you know, every morning it's a pissing contest. Oh, what did you get done today? You lazy sack of bones, it's 6 a.m. and I've taken the dog hunting and gone for a walk and turned the soil of the field. And what have you done? Breakfast for your guests? That doesn't sound like much work to me. And he's a hard ass SOB, but we love him. And he's great. He's definitely a fixture here that all the guests know quite well by the time they leave.
That's excellent. Classic, and he'll be with you the rest of your life for sure.
Oh my gosh, and he's, you know, he just, anything he can, he will contradict or say you're doing something wrong. And I remember we did this one lunch with this big polenta festival we were doing here at the house, and the sauce was super important, and we were using his wife's recipe. And the morning of this event, he came over, and without saying a word, he had a cigarette in his hand, and he comes through the kitchen, doesn't say a word, grabs a spoon, opens up the refrigerator, takes a bite of the sauce that's been sitting there overnight to like really get good, goes, like just kind of grunts, takes another drag of a cigarette and leaves, doesn't say another word. And we looked at ourselves and we thought, it must be perfect. Because if there was anything wrong with this thing, this guy would tell you up one side and down the other, oh, too garlicky, you didn't put enough of this in. And we just thought that was the best reaction you could get from this guy, just to grunt and to leave.
So we have the cooking class, we have the apartments, we have the organic farm. It is the wonderful Italian experience. Latavola Marque and Ashley Bartner, you've been our guest. You've been a wonderful guest, and we appreciate you joining us on the Total Tuscany podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's fantastic. We could talk to you all day.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, the next time you guys go to Tuscany, come on out a little farther east and visit us in La Marque.
We will be there. You ready to buy their property and go work the land in Italy?
You know, three kids in high school, I need to wait, right?
I got one in college, two in high school, basically, and one in third grade, so I guess I have to wait a little bit longer as well.
I do feel at home with the chickens I hear in the background.
But if you do have that need or that desire to want to do something, and Ashley brought up a very good point, they're going to start consulting for people who want to run a business in Italy. But something I never thought of that she brought up towards the very end was, you know, we think you have to own, and that lease option was very intriguing. You're like, it gives you the opportunity to give it a shot and cross your fingers that it works and work it, but it doesn't tie you to ownership of what it would, you know, owning something, because there's a lot more hassle that comes with owning as opposed to leasing.
Yeah, and it's interesting. They went looking for excitement and an adventure on a honeymoon.
Yep.
And then seduced by the leisure or the lifestyle there. The story we keep hearing over and over again, people want to stay there.
Latavola Marque, I hope I'm saying that right. My Italian's not very good. I have preschool Italian.
Even earlier than that.
But they have five apartments on the property. They do cooking classes. They have the organic farm. They give you really the total Italian experience. And it's right on the border of Tuscany and Umbria. And I think you would find it absolutely enjoyable. And as you can tell, two great people with the right attitude that make your stay that much more enjoyable. So check them out at latavolamarque.com. You can find a link to their website right here on our website, which is totaltuscany.com. Of course, follow us on our social media channels on Twitter at Total Tuscany. Like our Facebook page. We'd love to hear your comments. You can get a hold of us right here on our Facebook page, or on our website, rather. We want to hear what you think about the podcast. podcast. We'd like to know what you think about the website. Anything that you would like us to talk about or maybe have a guest as a podcast. We'd like to hear from you, because the way this thing gets better and grows is through the feedback of people like you who love Tuscany and love Italy. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. Thanks for listening to yet another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast.